Technorama episode 440. In podcasting, no one can hear you scream. Unless they subscribe.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
The pool party gave me a headache. Where's the acetaminophen?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us on Technorama, welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm elated.
Elated?
Yes, I am. I got my Pebble time. I'll talk about it later. But
so you'll never be elated again.
Yeah, that's right.
Also joining us in the binary studio are
Ben Ragginson
and Keith Lane
from
TGGeeks.com.
There you go. We got to spread the love.
That's right.
TG Geeks webcast. You name it.
We talk about it.
Yeah.
I was waiting for y'all to say from Phoenix.
I like what Ben said. I've actually borrowed that line you used on a recent show where you said, it's called the Valley of the Sun, but it feels more like the surface of the sun.
Yeah. That's how it feels right now.
Oh, my God. It felt like that here all last week.
And you get the humidity.
Hey.
Yeah, well, today it all changed. It was nice and beautiful and humidity was low. It was nice.
And I was talking, I got a text from my daughter. I think it was Friday. She said, people in Michigan are all excited because it's finally got into the 60s and they can wear shorts.
Oh my God. Good grief.
I told her, one more week to go. There are two seasons, winter and the 4th of July.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's it. You're a week early, kiddo.
Well, the monsoon came in a week early. It's normally 4th of July.
Yeah,
here,
monsoon usually historically hits Phoenix around the 4th of July. And
I thought it was later than that.
No, it's always come in on the 4th of July. In fact, I can't tell you the number of times we've actually had storms happen on the 4th.
Is that when the humidity goes up, or are we actually getting rainstorms and things?
Well, the humidity, it's a bit of both. But usually the humidity itself will just come just blowing right in on the 4th.
Yeah, just early.
And this
year.
Time it came a week early.
It's a weather
came
cast.
Came in from the pool party.
Yeah, it came for the pool party.
Yeah, it did come for the pool party.
It got rained out?
No,
we did have a dust storm last night.
We started with a cloud. It was cloudy, overcast in the morning. Right. It broke up. It finally got sunny when about time people started showing up just before noon. The weather was very nice for the majority of the day. Then what, about 5 o'clock?
Between 5 and 6.
Everybody's phone starts going off, and I said it's either an amber alert or there's a severe thunderstorm coming because it's that, you know. That weather warning thing. And they said, dust storm coming this way. So everybody's got their phones looking at the radar going, ooh, this is going to be a bad one.
And it petered out.
Yeah, it did. It was windy.
It was pretty windy, but we didn't get the worst of it. It was more south.
It kind of went around us.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny about those alerts now. When I was in Texas for work with Nier from Guy at Work.
Yeah.
And we're in the office, and it's like a cubicle kind of area, and all of a sudden I start hearing everybody's phones across the whole place, and I was like, I've never heard that many go off at one time. I think it was an amber alert, and then whatever weather app my wife has installed, it actually speaks, so it makes a beep. A weather warning is in effect in your area. I'm like, who was that? The stupid phone.
Here's a tornado warning. Stay away from tornadoes.
Yeah
really.
And on that note, we are going to, where's the music? There it is. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. In this episode, we've got old calculators, typewriters that have been hacked, and coloring books. And this week, it's the Russians.
Do
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig, and they're no damn good.
You know, we got to see if the Supreme Court will overturn the ruling on Pluto being a planet.
Access denied.
Been on a roll this week.
Wow, that was very scary timing, Keith. Holy cow.
I have a question.
Yes?
So Astronomy Cast, they use fax machines?
Fax-based journey, yes.
Yeah.
It's a fax-based journey. Through the...
We're receiving a fax.
Do you remember the old fax where you had to put the little special paper in there on the cylinder?
The rolled up stuff. Oh, man.
Thermal paper, 45 minutes for one paper, one page.
And then you have to, like, you know, run the air conditioner and fans and everything because it stunk up the room.
And then you go to reference it out of your file folder about 3 years later and it's all black.
You can't read it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or 10 minutes later. You know, or just take it off and it's not any good. Have to send that again. I always try to figure out why didn't they just print on regular paper? And I mean, it's not like you weren't doing it with a printer.
It was a thermal type of writing.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, why? But
I'm saying why.
Probably cost.
Well, and that was the technology.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is they couldn't figure out how to send a page break.
It wasn't laser printers back then. No, I mean, those were very expensive and very rare. So thermal or impact was the only way you're going to get something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad had an old thermal copier.
Oh my God.
It was huge and it was awful. And
the paper kept curling.
Yeah. And took 4 minutes underwear. To make one copy. And
did it curl and turn black? I don't want to know.
Letters. We get some letters.
Every someday. Day.
Oh, boy.
Except for Sunday afternoon.
From Amazon and the government.
Except when it's being delivered same day.
That's another bill.
Boy, did we butcher that one.
That's our job.
Well, let's just make it good.
Hi, Chuck and Craig. This is Digital Dan. You mentioned me on the show from last time from the birthday shout-out.
Huzzah!
Along with ASCII Adam, which is my brother.
Happy birthday.
We did have a good time. Rarely I do have an opportunity to chat with him, and Father's Day and our birthdays are actually one of those good times that our kids get together.
And funerals and weddings.
We have some good conversations. To follow up on one of the kind of ongoing things that you're asking about, which is what sayings or what things should be going away. One thing is the WTF. I really dislike that. Because if anyone wants to actually say that in...
Where's the food?
Most
yeah.
general social settings, that would be very offensive. But just by saying WTF in most situations...
What's that fish?
Now, it is somewhat acceptable.
Who that fool?
And then what, the overuse the of the exclamation point. I was listening to another podcast. It was the How to Do Everything podcast, and they came up with an idea of a exclamation point fast, which they didn't realize how much overuse people had until they were
guilty,
pretty much fasting or forbidding themselves from actually using the exclamation point. So one time, several times, sometimes in the conversations is what some of the feedback was. So just wanted to give you a call back and let you know that I have been listening and some of my feedback.
Yay!
Have cool. a good day and a good show.
I gave I gave up exclamation points for Lent.
Lent's over. Lent's over. You can use
Lent was months ago.
Oh, man, I forgot.
We also have one.
I've been denying myself all this time.
We got one from an anonymous caller.
Uh-oh. Hey, it's me. I was just calling to see what the heck. I don't know. I hope that I make it on the show.
Who in the heck is that?
I've never really been on a podcast before.
Shut up! I knew you were going to play that in the show.
He was testing an IFTTT thing. So we were having one of those high-level administrative Technorama meetings this week saying, where are we storing the voicemail now? So he had to make sure that his recipe threw it in the right folder.
Right.
And from the pool party, since Craig couldn't make it, we have this lovely sound bite.
Audio means...
Hi, Technorama listener. This is Chuck Tomasi, and I am here at the first annual Technorama Rama pool party, which is a...
Rama.
Which is a continued... And we have... Here, we're going to go around the table and say a few words. First up...
Oh, hey, I'm Michael R. Menengay, and I'm drunk. Yay!
Yay.
I'm retro, and I'm not drunk yet.
Okay, amateur...
Take it.
I'm Ben. A few words.
We had a few words to
I'm
say.
I'm Jack Mangan. Ben beat me to it.
I'm Keith, and I have nothing to say.
I'm Mrs. Retro, and all I can say is Gentleman's Jack.
There you go.
Hey, this is Jeff Smith. They used to call me Youper, but there's way too many now.
Yeah. Hi, it's I'm Tim Adamick, and everybody else beat That's me to it, too.
And there you have it. Wish you were here. Maybe next year. Bye.
And there were more people that floated in and out during the course of the day. That was just one point in time, right before we started playing Cards Against Humanity.
Again.
With the super duper, all the expansion packs.
Yeah. There were some new cards.
I saw that picture and I was gonna ask y'all about that. I saw the whole huge deck and I was like, well, they took it to the nth degree there. What's up with that?
There's like eight expansion
packs. Expansion pack.
Yeah.
That's all it is, because you play the game enough times and eventually you go through all the cards.
You know all the cards, you know all the answers. Yeah, we did play that one. We can't do that anymore. Unless you want a 12-hour marathon.
Yeah.
And finally, in our thread of answering questions and things, what Ben and Keith have not been here since we asked the question, what TV show needs to go away?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, this is the one that's just going to really fry people's brains. Doctor Who.
Really?
What?
Yeah. What's your rationale?
The rationale, two words.
No, Stephen I don't want to hear his rationale. What are you talking about?
Stephen Moffat has come in and he's completely taken the show from, I mean, if you look at any of the...
Russell T. Davies.
Well, not even Russell. I mean, even beforehand. I mean, and I'm going to say during the Barry Letts era.
Okay.
And that would be like the John Pertwee, Tom Baker.
Oh, you're going way, way back.
I'm going way back.
Okay.
I mean, the stories were all the episodes are very story driven. And lately what's happened is they've decided to really make the series less about the Doctor, more about the Companion, which I immediately despise because the show is called Doctor Who. It's not, the show is not called Rose Tyler or
Clara
or Clara.
Clara.
It's
Clara, Clara,
oh, Clara, whatever. It's none of these things. And then not only that, but they can't remain consistent with the characterizations that they have in the entire show. Clara, when we first meet her in the Matt Smith era, she is the impossible girl because she knows every aspect of the Doctor's personality. All of a sudden we got Peter Capaldi and she doesn't know who this person is. So when you have those kind of character inconsistencies, you know, and then what do? They had an entire season where it was nothing but this horrible angst between the two, between the Doctor and Clara. And to me, that actually took away from what I thought was good, adventurous storytelling. And it was just soap opera-ish at that point.
So this latest Peter Capaldi season is not up to snuff? I haven't started it yet.
There are two very, very, very good episodes. And the third one, which is pretty adequate. Yeah. But the rest of them are just terrible because it's all about Clara just bitching about how much she just doesn't understand the Doctor and how infuriated she is with him.
Mm.
And so I just got really tired of that.
I would agree with you. I don't know if it needs to go away, but it needs to take a turn because that's a little too heavy.
Direction they're going to continue going because Stephen Moffat has already said that from a tonal point of view, this upcoming season of Doctor Who is going to be just like the last one. I'm like, oh, well, great. Don't need more of that. So that's my take. I mean, if Doctor Who is going to go down that path, then it needs to go adios. And I love the Doctor Who as it is. So it takes a lot for me to say that.
Yeah.
And I already know what Keith says.
Uh-oh, we didn't get the key from.
Oh, that's okay.
You sure?
No, I already expressed mine when we first asked the question.
Keith has been doing the sound effects, so you know what he says. He's like Clarabelle the clown. Into the history. We're going to do it the regular way this time.
As opposed to the irregular way.
Well, no, you got to listen to the last show.
Oh.
On this day in history for July 1st, 2015. So how did we do?
It was entertaining.
For a little while. Good, then we met our mark. This is the 182nd day of the year. By the way, if at the end of the day, you will be halfway through the year. So isn't that a sad thought? 2015 is already half gone because there are exactly 183 days after that. It was on this date in 1770 that Lexel's comet passes closer to the Earth than any other comet in recorded history, approaching a distance of 0.0146 astronomical units, which is about 100,000 miles, 150,000 miles.
And AU is that's a difference,
93 million
distance
miles
between Earth and the Sun.
Yeah, so it's really freaking
close. That's close.
Yeah.
Craig,
in July 1st, 1858, joint reading.
Reading.
joint reading. Never mind.
So y'all became, are messing me up. He became British.
Yeah. There you go.
Joint reading of Charles Darwin's and Alfred Russel Wallace's paper on evolution to the Linnean Society of London, in London.
Hmm. The Scholes and Gooden typewriter, the first commercially successful typewriter, goes on sale on this date in 1874.
We have an upcoming typewriter story, coincidentally.
I can't wait.
Also today, in 1881, the world's first international telephone call is made between St. Stephen, New Brunswick, Canada, and Calais, Maine, United States.
Isn't that like right across the river? Can't you just shout?
Yeah, I think so.
That's not really
it's just two cans and a wire.
Yes, exactly.
Just wave.
It wasn't someplace like between North Dakota and Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Like right next to Hey, where are we? July 1st, 1890. Canada and Bermuda are linked by telegraph cable.
Wow.
Weren't those just across the pond, too?
Yeah.
No. And that same date in 1908, SOS is adopted as the international distress signal.
United Airlines begins service as Boeing Air Transport on this date in 1931.
Woo-hoo.
It was 83 years ago today that Australia's national broadcaster, the Australian Broadcasting Company, was formed.
ABC.
Yeah.
52 years ago today, get this, the zip codes are only 52 years old.
They're younger than me.
I remember.
Amazing.
Everybody was talking about zip codes, you know.
Yeah.
And then it was required. And
I miss my old zip code. It was a palindrome.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. 54914-1945.
Nice.
Craig, go ahead.
All right. Thank you. In July 1st, 1979, Sony introduces the Walkman.
God, wow. It's so out of date now. 1 minute to bottom. And the PG-13 rating is introduced by the MPAA on this date in 1984.
Some of these are fairly recent.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I actually remember the movie that was the reason behind PG-13.
Oh.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Indiana Jones?
What would make it PG-13?
It was the feast.
Oh.
With the prince,
okay.
And there was, you know, like monkey brains and things like that.
Wow.
It really freaked a lot of people. Oh, also the pulling of the heart out.
Yeah, it was
kind of freaked a lot of people out. So
the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, a lot of parents' watch groups got really upset, and so they had the MPAA adopt a new PG rating.
Aha. 11 years ago today, Saturn orbit insertion of Cassini-Huygens begins at 1:12 UTC and ends at 2:48 UTC. That's Universal Time Coordinate.
Neptune's moon S2004N1 is discovered 2 years ago today. And happy birthday goes out of this day to German mathematician and philosopher Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. You know what he's known for? Anybody?
Not really.
Anybody?
You got Lib? I don't know.
Leibniz calculus.
Leibniz? Oh.
Yeah. Newton and Leibniz.
Okay.
Wow. We know who went to higher level math in college.
Yeah.
He was born on this date in 1646.
Did you know that the guy that,
thank you.
Learjet, the guy that started Learjet,
yes.
Do calculus in his head.
Oh, that's scary.
It is.
Wow.
Ouch.
Go, Craig.
Edit that.
That gives me hurdy brain just thinking about it.
These should be pretty easy from here on out. Most of
William
them.
William Grant Stairs. Sounds like three words strung together. The Canadian English captain and explorer was born in July 1st, 1863.
Also born today in 1872, British physicist and electrical engineer William Duddell.
David Brower, American environmentalist, founded the Sierra Club, or Sierra Club Foundation, was born... What?
Oh, it should say founder.
Founder typo. Of the Sierra Club.
Oops.
Let's see. Start all over. David Brower, American environmentalist...
Start again.
Founder, Sierra Club Foundation, was born 103 years ago.
It's a good thing the band's still playing.
They've got less than a minute. Let's go. Soviet astronomer and astrophysicist Iosif Shklovsky was born on this date in 1916.
And the actor best known for, huh?
I thought there's a sandwich chain. Shklovsky?
No!
Oh, that's Shklovsky, sorry.
The actor best known for cross-dressing character on MASH, Corporal Klinger, Jamie Farr, is 81 today.
Oh. Yes.
Another actor, producer, and screenwriter, Dan Aykroyd, is 63, and the band is ready to leave.
Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Captain John Harriman from Star Trek Generations, actor Alan Ruck, is 59.
And Princess of Wales would have been 54 today.
Take it, Chuck.
And finally, actress Liv Tyler is 38, and that's where he was on his dating history for Charlie First, Dr. Vinny.
You made it.
It wasn't totally unintelligible at the end.
No, people are going to be slowing down, putting these recordings into like digital processes and slowing it down. What did he say?
What?
Same thing I say every week.
Startling news, everyone.
There's some moon memorabilia up for auction.
Indeed.
He's got to get the door closing.
Oh. Hey, can we let us back in?
Farnsworth just stands there with the door open. Never thought about that before.
Oh, good God.
Few space collectors, living or dead, can hold a candle to Leon Ford, who passed away in 2014. On Thursday, Ford's lifetime memorabilia collection sold at a Boston auction house for $678,000 U.S., Included among the 93 items sold were a slew of trinkets and oddities flown on famous NASA missions, actual spacecraft parts, and signed astronaut photographs. But in addition to the more run-of-the-mill keepsakes you expect to find in a space enthusiast closet, Ford had managed to acquire some seriously rare treasures. These included a backpack strap Charles Conrad wore on lunar surface during the Apollo 12 moonwalks, wow, which sold for $62,500.
Wait, moonwalks?
Moonwalk?
Billie Jean is not...
Oh my God, did you say moonwalks?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a spacewalk, only you're on the moon. When you get out of the Apollo lander...
How do you own that?
He bought a backpack strap that was worn by this guy as he did a
moonwalk.
He didn't
buy a moonwalk.
The only person that owns that, I guess, is Michael Jackson, right?
Trying to keep up, Craig. A signed personal preference kit belonging to one Buzz Aldrin for $50,000 and Al Warden's Apollo 15 flown flag patch for $27,500.
That's cool.
So various pictures and whatnot through the show notes. All right. We mentioned the Russians real quick at the top of the show because first we had the Belgians, then we had the Japanese. So we're just singling out strange things that are popping up in various countries that we think are interesting. And Craig, do you want this story or should I leave it to one of the gentlemen in the audience?
Sure. I can handle a little meat.
A little meat.
Earlier this month, a trend took Russia by storm, spurring by a group of social media called Beautiful Girls and Shawarma. The women in droves,
It was just one of those bizarre things.
Yeah, so women in droves took pictures whilst consuming traditional Arab food. Why, you ask? Why?
Why?
The origins of the meme are quite the riddle and wrapped around a kebab. Beautiful Girls and Shawarma was set up by Vonkte.
Close enough.
Vonkte, whatever. The Russian version of Facebook, ostensibly by social media marketers. Roma Brodinov. Yeah, Brodinov. That's right. And Alex Glee.
Alexi.
This is like on the state history better. You thought you were in the clear.
Yeah.
It's all these Russian names. Yeah. I usually wind up with them.
So it said the two had a dream, pretty girls and shawarma. Don't we all? They provide the photo session and the shawarma, and the girls provide their presents.
It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase food porn.
So the idea behind this is they're saying that this may be Putin controlling the media again, because he doesn't want people running to McDonald's. He's saying McDonald's is bad, so we need something to steer them
away. Let's go eat some shawarma.
The question is this social media or is this a propaganda ploy?
Warning, warning.
How would you ever know?
You don't really. There's a very gray line on some of those things.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I just like the picture of Putin riding the bear in the middle of the
water. That's a classic picture. Yeah. That's a classic one.
Shirtless Putin.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. There it is. Quick break, and we'll be back with the birthday calendar, some hacks and strange stories, and some Media Corner stuff. And then we'll remind you why we're not doing video again. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Hello, IT. Have you tried powering it on or powering it off? Okay. Is it plugged in? All right, I'll be up.
Phil? This is a pub. This isn't an IT or a health center.
Oh, sorry. I was doing something from the IT crowd because I thought this was a nerd podcast we were doing a drop-in for.
Oh, you know, this isn't Technorama.
Wait a minute.
This is the Brit Yankee.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Technorama. That's that geeky thing with Craig Stepp and what's his name?
Jack Tomasi.
Tomasi. Wait a minute. Hasn't he gone out to Arizona?
He's moved to where the retired people go. He must be retired.
Is he retired?
I didn't know he was that old.
Well, there you go.
So he looks so good for his age. I mean, 82 really? Is not that old.
Oh, I know. And what's that in binary? 101? No.
I'll forget it.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. How about a happy Christmas to all the Technorama viewers? Now, wait a minute. Are they viewers or are they listeners?
A little of both.
Oh, really? They swing both ways.
They do.
Those boys are on top. Well, it's a happy Christmas from the Brit and Yankee podcast from me.
And a happy Christmas and a new year from him.
Oh, good man. Cheers. Whoa, what a clang, baby! Woo. Oh!
This is Richard Garriott.
Lord British.
Private Space Explorer, you're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
Hey, you never know when people are listening to your podcast, right? So the holiday thing will work.
Yeah, that's true. You really know if somebody comments on it.
Well, especially if you get a new subscriber, and they've got this entire backlog that they want to go through.
This must be their Christmas episode.
Yeah. It's a Christmas episode in July.
Hey, Christmas in July is very popular.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, we're a couple weeks late. We have hacks and strange stories. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're actually early.
Depends what year. That was for 2014, because obviously they knew I moved.
I'm trying to confuse the issue more.
Good.
Yeah, you're a little early.
You're a master at confusing the issue.
Right.
The birthday calendar, we have just two this week. We have July 4th is Mike McBride, and July 6th is Peter, 1982 Sweden. I suspect that's when and where he was born.
I kind of read. I saw the Sweden out of the corner of my eye, and I thought it said Peter Weller for a second.
No, it's Peter Sweden.
He's a
Peter
listener.
Standard disclaimer: if it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday to you this week. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar so we can give you a shout out maybe at Christmas, maybe not,
sometime,
go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and join our birthday calendar. We'd love to hear from you.
We'll shout out at you some random week in November if you want.
Sure, that works. Now, Craig, you found this interesting story about a man who loaded something on his calculator. Go for it.
Yeah, so someone, that's what the title of the thing says here, someone got Android 1.6 running on a Texas Instruments graphing calculator. What? So
that's it.
How you like that? Yeah, yeah. Done. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, actually, this funny. This I've never seen this calculator myself, but it actually has a cursor pad on it. Yeah. Let me read a little bit of the article. The open source nature of Android means that you can run mobile operating system on just about anything if you got the know-how. Case in point, a YouTube user named Josh Max has managed to get it running on a Texas Instruments TI Inspire CX. If that name conjures up any images of middle school algebra exam, no not for me.
No.
It's because it's a graphing calculator. Check it out in action below, and there's a video to kind of demonstrate it.
I'm honestly not that impressed with all the things you can load Linux or OpenBSD, yeah. NetBSD, FreeBSD. All those open source operating systems, this one really doesn't surprise me all that much.
No, and it's meant for smaller, well, I say it's meant for smaller devices, but at the same time, you know, today's phones are in itself computers that we've had, you know, that much power. I mean, almost a desktop, so.
Just about.
You can run it, I mean.
But the calculator doesn't have internet, so what are you really expecting to do? Play Lunar Lander for a month?
There you go. And that's just.
Yeah. I think it was more impressive for something like this about 15 years ago when you go, okay, we got Linux. Oh,
right.
He put it on this? That's amazing. Wow. Now it's like, oh, you got it on that? Okay.
The first calculator I ever owned was given to me at Christmas. It was a Radio Shack calculator, and it had a switch that you could throw for a game, and you could play blackjack.
Nice.
And this was 1977?
Wow.
I mean, it was a bright green LED screen.
Oh, sounds yay. Like kind of like what I had.
Whenever they would shuffle, quote, air quotes, the deck, just all like 12... 7-segment displays would just go flash, 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 flash. And if you're playing at night, that sucker would blind you. It's like, oh crap, they're shuffling the deck. I can't see.
Yeah.
It should come with a warning for anybody who suffers from epileptic seizures.
There you go.
If you started counting, though, you knew how many. It was like every 13 hands or something they'd shuffle. All right. Well,
obviously, this thing is pretty capable. I mean, it's got a USB port. I was just pulling it up.
Just did that one.
I mean, it's got yeah, I was actually looking to see when they made it because the guy made the comment in the article, if it conjures up images of a middle school school algebra exam, I'm like, well, this would have never been around unless somebody was a time traveler and left it behind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my middle school.
Also in the hack devices, we talked a few weeks ago about the man who hacked a dot matrix printer to play Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
That was far out.
This is now a...
now you're impressed with that.
Can you do it?
Take your minds up, guys.
We have a crazy hack typewriter, which is now a percussive printer.
Percussive printer.
Percussive printer.
Would you like to hear it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So are you familiar with the Typewriter Symphony? You probably will be when you hear this song. I was really looking forward to using it.
I think I know the typewriter.
Ding! Yes, that's the one. Yeah. This is a little slower version than that. Now, I love the 8-bit music.
Yeah, it's far out.
It's all being driven electronically.
Funny.
It's even out. There's a relay firing the desk bell.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning.
Or a solenoid. They've got the whole thing. I'm not going to play the whole thing. But wow. You get the idea. I know a podcaster used to use that for his voicemail and email things. Yeah. Because I was looking forward to it. I wanted to use it today just to tie everything together, but I couldn't find it in a clean format, and they'd probably arrest us for copyright again.
It should be public domain by now.
Here's our birthday music.
Again?
Okay, yeah.
So
it's all
very
public
cool.
domain.
Yeah, there's lots of little solenoids all over the keyboard.
I paid for that.
You know, you could play that whole song with just like one relay. I don't know why they had to wire up all the keys on the keyboard this way.
Just do two or three.
Well, actually, I would like to see what it's actually typing on the paper.
Yeah, I've seen this done in concert. If you follow the links through the show notes, they have a concert, and it is very humorously done because the guy comes out and he's got to get his little typewriter on a stand to the front of this full-blown orchestra.
Yeah, it's like a proper instrument of the orchestra. Yes. And he's got to follow the conductor in the whole
right.
bit.
Yep. And he's just banging away on two keys for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, with this one, because everything's so wired up, I have to wonder, is it actually typing something out on that paper?
I could not tell you. Even if you forward to the end. Hey, there it is. It says, a typewriter is a mechanical. Electromechanical. It's a machine for writing in...
It's a mecha-Hitler.
C-heritors. There's line breaks between these two. In characters similar to those produced by...
By a printer.
A typewriter is a mechanical or electromechanical machine.
It looks like it's just repeating it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey.
That sounds like, what was it?
Why would you go to the trouble to put all those solenoids over all the keys to have it not print anything?
Well, that was just it. It was printing out that message.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it would print out your tweets.
We already have one of those. We saw that.
Yeah.
Printing somebody had that was years ago.
Wonder what the cost is. Is this practical? Maybe
No, they didn't print it on a typewriter. They printed it on a ticker tape thing.
Oh, that's right.
All stock ticker bells.
Yes.
In the bell drive. Yeah, your tweets would come in on a
I remember that.
That's So let's go to the chat room. Oh, that was the chat room because chat going because we don't have video. Just an update if you didn't catch last week's show. Hang on, I'm doing something here.
I'm trying to podcast here.
Nothing to look at.
We need your help. Our software is now officially out of date and no longer supported to communicate with YouTube to do our live stream and video recording and whatnot. So please visit our PayPal donation page. We put a nice, easy bit.ly link. It's something like bit.ly/technoramadonation.
You're reading the bit.lys out for everybody now?
Well, that's because bit.lys are easy to read.
True.
And we'll wait while you donate.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll wait right here.
Yep. Want to give a huge thanks to our first donator, Steven, for his donation. Thank you. We're that much closer to our goal of upgrading the software so that we can hopefully even see Craig's mouth moving when we get the video back and we're not just doing still pictures of him.
We're going to podcast continuously until we reach the amount. Only you can help.
Oh, it's a marathon now.
It's a pod-a-thon. No, pod marathon. No.
Technoramathon.
Marathon the rock.
Sounds like an Arab holiday.
No, when we were doing that around the table thing earlier in the show, and everybody started going rama, 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 rama. It was something like the spam, 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 spam. You bloody Vikings! It's just an illicit response.
Yes.
All right. Remember when? Where's our remember when music? Yay! All right. In the remember when, we wanted to know, why do the old movies flicker?
Flicker.
Do you know why? I thought it was because of the projection of just show a frame, stop, show a frame. Why, Craig?
Candlelight.
No.
Okay. I thought that there was also a shutter that was involved.
Well, there is. You might think in the early stages they got their flickers and then flicks because they flicked through a series of images. This is not particularly true. What gave movies their nickname was a bug, not a feature.
Uh-huh.
Learn about the outdated technology that made the images flicker far more than they should have. We can watch early movies, but we don't really get the same effect that the original audiences did in the theater. It's not that early films are damaged, although sometimes they are. It's that they were never shown on their original equipment, which is good because the original equipment, from a purely practical standpoint, sucked. Although projectionists today still have an important job, in the old days, well, now it's more like just a computer, right?
Because everything's
digitized. I don't think anybody sends film canisters around, but different story. They still have an important job. In the old days, they had to tend their projectors like a nurse tending a sick patient. The light in the early projectors was a very early arc lamp. you know, bzz, 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 that kind of thing. This is a form of lighting that goes back to the 1800s. In most primitive form, it involves running two different levels of voltage through two carbide rods. Touch them together, and the current between them vaporizes the tips of the carbon rods. The vapor doesn't vanish. It lingers between the tips of the carbon rods, and electricity streaks through, illuminating the vapor and whatever is beyond it. Arc lamps were bright, but incredibly unsteady. People were always adding improvements to maximize safety and minimize jumpiness. First, mercury vapor got added to the bulbs. Oh, there's a hell.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
That nice what's mercury next? Smell.
DDT. Making the light a steady and bright enough source of light to use. Then the carbon rods, which were sometimes nothing more than a packed plant fiber, were replaced rods incorporating tungsten. Through it all, the projectors needed tending, and even the best attendants found their lamps sputtering and shimmering and the images on the screen flickering in front of faces. So, had they not flickered, what do you think they would have called Netflix?
Net movies.
Net movies.
Web movies.
Net shots.
Netcasts.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Oh, no.
We're back to that.
No.
All right.
By the way, I love the picture of Frankenstein there at the top.
Is that what that was?
That did not look like Frankenstein.
It looked like Quasimodo to me.
I was thinking it looked like Quasimodo.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like the early 1900s.
Yeah, I think those Lon Chaney's.
Well, you probably wouldn't recognize Nosferatu either as Dracula in the early ones.
Good information about music and TV and videos and things. Over here in the media corner.
And that's actually Frankenstein or Dick Cheney. I'm not sure.
Spoiler alert: Jon Snow dies. Or did we never validated that, did we? We're still debating.
Well, we had a big conversation with Lori yesterday about that.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, she's convinced that, yes, Jon Snow died, but the person that we saw get stabbed is really still alive.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to get her input on that.
What are you talking about?
It's going to be some kind of
Game of Thrones
resurrection.
I know what you're talking about. I haven't watched it.
Coloring books for adults are beginning to grow in popularity, and earlier this month, we learned that George R. R. Martin coloring book was on its way over on the Barnes & Noble sci-fi and fantasy blog.
Get your red crayons out.
That's what they said. Bring extra red crayons for the blood.
I know, you know, I'm looking at some of the one of Joffrey's hysterical, but I would love to see one of Drogon and it just completely incinerating all the Sons of the Harpies.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I want to see charred bodies in crayon format.
Here's Daenerys and Drogo on their honeymoon night. Yeah. In front of hundreds of people.
Okay. I like the images of the Dune coloring book at the bottom.
The Dune coloring book is also good. They had more detail in the line art.
Is disgusting.
The Joffrey one
is great. I love that.
That one's good.
It looks like Burger King got a little out of control.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck, remember the Star Trek one?
Star Trek coloring book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was funny because it was like it made Spock. I mean, it just the words didn't. The little story they were telling was ridiculous.
I think I would like to, you know, leave a few blank pages in this coloring book so you could draw your own.
There you go.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we got a coloring book. So Santa Claus always colored one.
Speaking of Star Trek, nice segue.
By the way, I pulled up Star Trek coloring book on Google Images, and the one I guess is, what's wrong with this picture? And there's like Spock with a bandana and boxing gloves on with roller skates.
What?
What's
right with the picture?
And here's Uhura with a... Wait a minute. Here's Uhura with a bowler hat, and there's McCoy with a sailor's hat and a shovel. And anyway, my first thought was, well, here's what's the problem. Uhura's in the captain's seat.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Because Spock went to the Vulcan Martial Arts Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexist about that remark.
Mm.
All right, who wants a short Star Trek story?
I'll take this one. Star Trek III, likely to be called Star Trek Beyond, starts production this week, aimed at its July 8th, 2016 release date. But before that film is even a few days old, Paramount is already setting the table for part four.
Hooray!
Yay! Chris Pratt and Zachary Quinto, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, respectively, have reportedly each signed big new contracts that include an option for a fourth movie. And it's all quite technical, but basically when all the actors signed for the 2009 J.J. Abrams-directed original, they had options for two sequels. Things went okay. Oh, man, I really want to put quotes around the word okay with the sequel Star Trek Into Darkness, or what I call the Wrath of Khan done badly.
Cumberbatch!
But now over 7 years have passed since signing those original deals, and the actors believe they were worth more now. Oh, this is so typical of Hollywood.
You think?
Yeah. Agents, managers, and studio heads all got involved, and everyone got raises. Some got big raises. I understand Chris Pine got a huge raise. But Paramount has definitely locked in at least Pine and Quinto for part four, making sure the series nucleus is intact, assuming director Justin Lin makes a hit with this third part of the new series. And it just, you know, remains to be seen how long this will Kirk and Spock live. But at least we know they've both got the propering part down. Good for them and good for fans. I'm kind of like waiting on that. You know, the jury's still out.
Hey, I think that Pine and Quinto were cast very well.
I'm not going to argue with the casting. It's the stories that I really object to. I think the casting is brilliant.
Absolutely.
But the stories themselves are just very not where they should be.
The last one. First one I thought was a good kind of reboot Genesis story.
First one was okay, although I'm a huge, I despise reboot. I hate reboot rage, and that's what that was all about. And it's only because J.J. Abrams is not a Star Trek fan.
He's not
in the slightest. So he was the one who said, let's just reboot the whole doggone thing.
Well, he's kind of out of it this time. So, I mean, except for producing or whatever, but
he's not even remotely connected to this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's now busy with Star Wars.
Good.
Well, see, I'm guardingly excited about this next one. Of course, we don't know anything because they're just starting to film, but they're supposed to be on their mission, you know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about actual space exploration. Yes. So we might get some kind of an original story. So it should be interesting.
I want to see something. Yeah, I don't need to say, I mean, if it involves the Klingons or something, that's fine. But it needs to be something different and not a rehash of the old stories.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
All right, Craig, you got a new watch?
I do.
Speaking of time travel.
Yeah, time traveling right now.
What did you get? Tell us about it. You've got 3 minutes.
So I got in on the Kickstarter for the Pebble Time. And I finally got it. I must have been like the last person in line to have their shipped out. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm here. So it has it's much like the original Pebble in the sense that it has the e-paper screen. So the battery life's really good on it. It has a color screen, which sometimes the color is a little muted, but that's okay. I didn't really want it for the color screen as much as I like the design. And the design, I have to say, this watch is very comfortable to wear. I almost cannot tell that it's on. It's much more comfortable than the original Pebble. I know that's weird to say, but it is. It's light. It looks great. The screen's really good. And the software is awesome because it has the timeline. You can see past events and future events just by clicking up or down on the buttons. There it goes right now. The vibration's really good and strong. It's really great.
I'm sorry. I just got the visual of the IT crowd when they were cranking up the phone.
What? Oh, yeah. So I have to say, I think this is a winner. If you got the original Pebble and you're fine with the black and white screen, you can probably wait a little bit. But you're going to get the software update at some point. They're promising to bring the timeline update to the original Pebble.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be fine with that.
How much was it?
I think I paid $165 to get in on the Kickstarter. I think and once it hits retail, it'll be $199.
Okay.
So, but yes, it's very. I think it's much more stylish than the original. The battery seems to be just as fine like the original. My battery started to is starting to give up the ghost on the original Pebble I had.
Are you selling your original?
No, somebody in the house wants it.
I wonder who that
my
is.
Son. My son wants it. So I'm going to give it to him.
Color me surprised.
Yeah, so that's not a big deal. I'll give it to him.
But you have a Pebble on one arm and a Apple Watch on the other.
You got
Craig
you got
with
both?
An Apple Watch? Or Harrison?
No. I'm not springing for an Apple Watch for the kid.
Not at this point.
No, but I have to say, I think it is a good purchase. If you want the color screen, it's worth it. It's like I said, it's pretty nice. So there you go.
All right. Good review. Our question this week is, what is the nerdiest place you want to visit?
Oh, yeah, I got to think about that one.
I kind of borrowed the question from.
Well, we've already been to two nerdy places. Hard well, to
yeah, because I'm kind of thinking nerdiest place I want to visit. It's like, is there any nerdy place that I haven't been to yet?
Computer yeah. History Museum. That was a big
the
one
moon?
For Chuck and I.
The moon. The moon. The
moon. Not necessarily. No.
Praxis.
The ISS.
Praxis.
Okay. Well, then Reason.
Hey, no,
I hear you can get
I'm
a good
not,
deal.
Reason has get, nothing to
oh,
do
so,
with Technorama.
So okay, so we're going. I mean, it's all everything's on the table.
Sure. Who said Praxis? Was that you?
I did.
Praxis?
Hey, I hear
it's
timeshares.
It's a shell of a moon.
I hear you can get a good deal on timeshares. A
lot
on
more coastal property.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not just go to Krypton for what it's worth then? Gee. Yeah, there
we
go.
And the imploded Vulcan.
Yeah.
We've got,
wait a minute.
We just got
are we talking
we
about
just,
fictional places or we are
any place.
Like
we
places.
Just came up with a fictional, a sci-fi tour guide book.
Yeah. Because, you know,
Alderaan.
Yes, you can go to Praxis. Yeah. I mean, the real, I mean, we went to the Star Trek Experience and we went to the Computer History Museum. Those are two pretty geeky places.
We haven't been to someplace like, what's the Space Center in Alabama?
NASA? Oh, I know the one you're talking
not
about.
Johnson. Johnson's,
but
no.
But
no.
Isn't that where they have Space Camp?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of places like that. I haven't been to the Smithsonian. I've been to the British History Museum. That's cool, too. Yeah. So could be here on Earth. Could be in sci-fi land. You tell us, listener. 206-222-2428. 206-222-CHAT if you can't remember the 2428 part. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We also accept Twitters and Facebook comments
and
whatnot.
Credit cards and...
Yeah. That's on the Technorama page. Hit the PayPal one-time donation thing.
Hey, I want to visit the planet Pluto. Take that.
Pluto.
You have to listen to the Fact-Based Journey.
Fact-Based Journey.
Oh, you know what that music means.
What?
We're done.
Oh.
So, time to go on vacation for another week. Well, we go dig up some more crazy news stories and entertain you once again next week. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Mad Mar for the blog content. Thank you, Ben and Keith, for stopping by.
Ah, pleasure.
Yes.
Tell the listener where they can find your podcast in case they didn't already know.
DGGeeks.com.
Yay.
And we're on Facebook.
You didn't hit your own desk bell.
Yeah,
ding.
Ding. And we're on Facebook.
What else are you on?
Twitter.
Twitter. And
at the 2K Geeks and at TG Geeks.
Google. Yeah.
Heroin. Heroin.
Crack.
Thanks, Craig.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thank you, listener. And tell a friend about Technorama. Who's up for a binary high five?
101.
Nicely done, everyone. Good night.
Two.